I think across the board, everybody is straight on one thing. They all have one thing in common, and it all talks about the basic definition of leaky gut is its gastrointestinal permeability, mm-hmm. which is either caused or a symptom of diseases.
Yeah.
So they're not sure whether this is something that, you know, your food is causing or a disease is causing, and then, you know, you're getting further illnesses because of this. They just... You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys listening each week. We see the download numbers, so we know you guys are sharing with the podcast with a friend. So keep that up, and please give us that rating and review in iTunes and...
on Facebook.
That's right. Brand new Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Shannon took a lot of time setting it up and moderating it.
About 10 minutes.
Yeah. So we want you guys to make sure you leave us your inputs and feelings about each episode, each week's episode, and past episodes on that page. All right. So first, you know, we're kind of last week we did the baby recap. So now we're in the thick of parenthood and we're trying to get back to our somewhat normal routine. And that includes training each week. So let's get into our training recap for this week.
Oh my gosh, we haven't had a training recap in so long.
I know, it's been a long time since we've talked about it.
Yep. So, I mean, as far as my training recap goes, I think it's safe to say I'm not back to my normal, but I definitely have started to incorporate some activity. So nobody needs to worry. I'm not going cray cray and I'm not like training yet.
Right.
I still have to like hit my 6-week appointment with my doctor.
We're following doctor's orders.
Yes. But I am including activity in my weekly routines. So that includes taking the dog and Ella for little walks in the morning. I used to take the dog for walks, especially late in my pregnancy. I was just walking with the dog, and that's basically the bulk of my activity. But now I've got both of them. Not as long walks because it's still really hot, but it's definitely nice to get out and just move around. And I've definitely felt a change in positive change in my body, just having gotten up and moving around. Also moving around, I did my first, postpartum yoga experience, my yoga session. And that was really interesting because I was sweating after like 40 minutes. I was like full on just sweating. I was working apparently way harder than my body was used to, and it was not a vigorous yoga session. I would say it was like a slow flow, and it was kicking my ass. So it was a lot of very like, you know, gentle stretching and just moving with breath, and it was challenging.
Yeah.
So kind of an eye-opening experience for me to realize my body is far from where it was and definitely need to be careful with it. But again, just having some kind of movement in there and activity has been wonderful.
Well, that's awesome. And I know you said you recently put on a pair of a piece of clothing that was post-pregnancy clothing that you already putting back on.
Pre-pregnancy.
Yeah.
It was not a maternity item. It was just a regular pair of jean shorts.
Yeah.
That I wore before I was pregnant, and I put them on yesterday, and they fit. They're a little bit snug, more snug than they were, but they at least fit. So. Yeah.
And in addition to those things that you did and the things I did, picking up a baby, holding a baby, like rocking her to sleep is way more of a workout than you would anticipate it, or I guess we anticipated.
Yeah, my arms are going to be jacked.
Yeah, I know. Like my upper back, just trying to hold it and kind of like the, just think about holding something close to your chest for, you know, 20-30 minutes at a time. It's definitely a workout. So
it is.
For my training recap, now that I have, I'm trying to spend as much free time home with the baby, so I'm doing a lot more at home workouts, which is the benefit of, you know, one of the benefits of being a personal trainer. I have equipment to work use at home. So if you guys follow ET Tampa on Instagram, I usually put the at home workouts on my stories.
Yeah.
So you guys can see kind of what I'm doing, you know. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Instagram stories. So once again, at ETTAMPA, check us out. Give us a follow. So I've been doing those, and my title boxing and kickboxing classes are a lot more hands-on than a normal kind of like personal training session, because, you know, personal training, usually I kind of demonstrate the exercises and then just watch my clients complete them.
Right.
You know, make sure I'm monitoring their form and giving them critiques and then telling them, hey, try this in the next set to try to, you know, pull in your abs, contract your lower body while you're doing that upper body work. But with the kickboxing at Title and boxing, it's, I'm kind of like working right along with them.
Yeah, you're really leading them by example.
Yeah, it's much more leading by example. So luckily I'm doing that up to 3 times a week now. So that's kind of helping me stay, keep my my fitness. But I think this coming month, I want to kind of really kind of maybe be a little bit more diligent on the nutrition aspect of it too. Because, you know, with the baby, just trying to get in meals in general I wouldn't say a struggle, but it is a it's something
it is
that
a struggle. It is, yeah, the struggle is real.
Yeah, I guess the struggle is a good way to describe it, because, you know, we used to do a ton of food prep, and we're getting some stuff done, but not nearly as what we used to before the baby. So we may still be boiling up some eggs, but we need you know, we don't have the meal prep time that we used to. So
I may be silently eating a meal as we record this podcast, because, you know, I have no other time to eat.
Yeah. Right now, knock on wood, the baby's asleep. So we're getting in a podcast for you guys, and Shannon may be eating. So that was my training recap for the week. Before we jump into our next topic, I want to share some exciting news with you listeners. You all know Shannon and I love us some coffee, which is why we are proud to announce our partnership with the Hemp Coffee Exchange. The Hemp Coffee Exchange is a Tampa-based coffee roasting company that produces a sustainable super coffee blend of intelligently sourced hemp seeds and green coffee beans. The creators of the Hemp Coffee Exchange believe that the nutrients contained in hemp, like high amounts of amino acids and essential fats, may increase the health benefits associated with coffee. Shannon and I drink this coffee essentially every morning, and I truly believe it is nutritionally superior and tastes better than anything you'll buy at the grocery store. And right now, listeners of the Addicted to Fitness podcast can get 20% off their purchase at the Hemp Coffee Exchange online store. Just head to hempcoffeeexchange.com, choose from their large selection of products, and enter ATF at checkout to receive a 20% discount on your order. Once again, enter ATF at checkout to receive 20% off your order at hempcoffeeexchange.com. Now we want to jump into the first main topic of discussion, which will be leaky gut.
It sounds super sexy.
Yeah,
right?
I know you guys have heard us mention this on the podcast before.
Yeah, and, recently.
And we wanted to make sure we came back to it and really give it a little bit more investigation, you know, kind of do our research and see what that kind of term really means.
And I think it's been a term that has been used and misused for a while now. We went out and really just tried to find some decent resources. And we found a lot of articles and kind of medical definitions, medical sites that did actually define leaky gut. But a lot of them also include disclaimers about how this is not necessarily a legitimate diagnosable.
Yeah, maybe. Sounds good.
It's not really a condition that medical professionals are diagnosing frequently. It's kind of more in like the alternative health realm. And it's been, I think across the board, everybody is straight on one thing. They all have one thing in common, and it all talks about the basic definition of leaky gut is its gastrointestinal permeability, which is either caused or a symptom of diseases.
Yeah.
So they're not sure whether this is something that, you know, your food is causing or a disease is causing. And then, you know, you're getting further illnesses because of this. They just know that it is present in conditions like food allergies and things like celiac disease. So
yeah,
there's still a lot of inconsistencies across the board. Mm-hmm. And I mean, literally going back, I found a Dr. Oz episode and article on his website. And I think a lot of people consider him sort of just an authority figure. Well,
sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But even he said, like, this is like from 2005, I think, is when this was done. But he even says that it's super difficult to diagnose, and there's a lot of reasons for that. So it's kind of a condition like he calls murky, and he states that there's a lot of skepticism in the mainstream right. medical community about the legitimacy of it.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, I definitely understand that. And some of the articles I was looking at too that you brought up is like, you know, they're still waiting to, I think, more. That's kind of the whole medical community does. They make sure they have real hard, data and things before they make some sort of proclamation. But from what I've heard a lot recently, it's becoming more and more reality. And like you said, could be, you know, due to some conditions like celiac disease, Crohn's disease, but also a lot of the items in foods. You know, I know they talk about inflammatory foods a lot has an effect on kind of gut health.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we talked about, like when we talked about the gluten-free, some of the different either fermentable sugars or the gluten protein that's in a lot of grains and products like that could cause some sort of, could lead to that intestinal permeability.
Yeah. And we'll break it down for you really quick on what exactly that is, because those are sort of two big words. Really, it's I think actually Dr. Oz explained it best. And he basically said that our digestive lining, so your gut, when we're talking about gut, is really your small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not your stomach. It's the small intestine, which is very long and very critical to your digestive system. But our digestive lining really serves as a barrier. It has a very strong barrier function, and it's like a net that has small holes that allow certain substances that are small enough to go through, and it keeps out the larger, like, undesirable particles. But with leaky gut, which is that increased intestinal permeability, that net kind of becomes damaged. Like, you can think of it as like a fishing net that you get holes in, and a net doesn't work properly when it's got holes in it. So more things pass through it than it really should.
Right.
So that can allow things like bacteria, viruses, undigested food particles, even waste products to leak into your intestines and into your bloodstream. And that can cause further inflammation and, again, possibly make illnesses worse or possibly cause illnesses. That's right. Where it all starts to get really really fuzzy. But the symptoms that you would experience as a result of a leaky gut, which also makes it kind of difficult to diagnose as a standalone condition,
mm-hmm.
are very broad. Like, these are things that you would experience from a number of different causes. So it's like bloating, cramps, fatigue, food sensitivity, achy joints, headache, rashes. I mean, think about that. Those are all symptoms that could be caused by so many different things.
Right.
So that's where there's a lot of gray area. But I was reading, I have a book here called Practical Paleo, and this is really talking about all of the digestive issues that food really can either magnify or cause. And they really break it down, and they focus in on like the seeds and grains being a real contributor that causes your body to sort of set off this leaky gut condition.
Right.
So if you're familiar with paleo, grains and seeds are verboten. they are big no-no. So it makes sense that they would kind of explain this aspect in this book and really talk about, they call the seeds and grains like anti-nutrients, and even whole grains and beans and things like legumes are included in that. Mm-hmm. So it also includes refined grains and products that have like, you know, flour and rice and things in it.
Refined carbs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that is one of the reasons, because of them kind of following that track of thinking, that these items cause leaky gut or further exacerbate leaky gut, that they don't include it in their diet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like under the umbrella of inflammatory foods that they're putting under there. So, you know, and I'm sure if you looked at a vegan's book, they would say the opposite about the grains and stuff like that. So, but it's interesting because, you know, the idea that certain foods cause this, you know, I listened to a podcast, it was a while ago, but it was talking about how they did a study on the effect like fast food has on stomach and permeability. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I'll make sure I'll go and try to find a link to this study or to the podcast. And they were talking about how just eating one, like, sandwich from a fast food restaurant could cause, you know, like almost like 6 or 12 hours of stomach impermeability. So it was like, I think it seems to be related to the type of quality of food.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, obviously the book you just read for the paleo, they talk about refined carbs. Mm-hmm. We often talk about that, how inflammatory those can be and how they could lead to certain syndromes. So it looks like it's kind of all connected, you know.
Right.
And that's what I believe. I really think that the foods that we take in really have an effect on our body. So if you put poor, low quality food in, you could have a low quality experience in your body, which can result, you know, include illnesses and sicknesses and whatnot. And I mean, there's also food allergies too. That's mm-hmm. a real thing. Celiac disease and adverse, you know, reactions to anything. Even foods that are, you know, high quality, you can have adverse reactions to eggs. There's people that have egg allergies. So it's a broad topic, but I think gut health is super important to talk about, because not only does it control, not only does your gut have the idea of, you know, intestinal permeability or leaky gut, but it's also about linked to how you feel. You know, I mean, I think there's a stat that I don't want to quote it because I'm not 100% sure, but there's a certain amount of the feel good hormones that you have. Serotonin is produced in the gut. I think mm-hmm. majority of it is produced in the gut.
Well, and like 70-80% of your immune system is like your antibodies and things are produced in your gut.
Yeah.
So you're going to have some serious issues if you don't have a healthy gut.
Right, exactly. And that, you know, and that can, and another part of having a healthy gut is the production of beneficial bacteria. Mm-hmm. Because there are bacteria in our body, you know, there's good bacteria, there's bad bacteria. So they're all kind of, we're trying to obviously cultivate the good bacteria over to, you know, make sure they act against the bad bacteria, kind of like you were talking about the antibodies. So that's kind of the
anti-nutrients.
Well, that's kind of the next thing I wanted to transition to. Did you have anything more on the leaky gut that you want to share?
We just like, there's actually a really good page in this Practical Paleo book that really talks about healing a leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find another article that sourced a number of health professionals, again, not really doctors, because I don't think doctors really like to talk about this subject, but they said on the Huffington Post article, they said that really removing foods that cause problems is the best course of treatment that a health professional is going to prescribe. And it comes down to eliminating those inflammatory foods for like 30, 60, maybe even 90 days. Mm-hmm. It could even be like, okay, you can never have this food again. So they flat out kind of just list that as a major way to fix it. The book, the Practical Paleo book, has one page, and we'll include just a quick snapshot in the show notes, just of kind of like what it looks like, because they include like sort of a nice little recap. And I mean, it talks about neurological causes, hormonal causes, stress, infections, medications, diet, all these things can cause and contribute to leaky gut. But their way to heal it is to remove the dietary irritants, but also adding good things into your diet. So supplementing with omega-3 and fat-soluble vitamin-rich fermented cod liver oil, mm-hmm. butter oil blend, using other supplements. I don't know how to say quercetin.
Yep.
It's an antioxidant mm-hmm. that really helps with inflammation. So just drinking a lot of water, drinking herbal teas like peppermint, licorice root. There are a number of different things that they mm-hmm. include in here that really focus on repairing
right.
the leaky gut, which I like because none of the articles that I found really went into that much detail.
Right. And there's another part too, which we're about to – it's about to, a good transition to what we're about to talk about, what they talk about, you know, re-inoculating.
Yes. So – one of the major things in under this category is supplementing with probiotics in pill or powder form if you want.
Right.
So perfect segue.
Yeah, and that's something we've done before, and I'm sure we mentioned on the podcast before that, you know, one of the few – because people ask me, and I'm sure they ask Shannon too, about what supplements we take. And right now, kind of the main supplement – I know Shannon's on a postnatal supplement, but we're also – we also take probiotics each day. So we don't – I mean, we found a good brand that we like. I know there's a ton of different brands and ton of different types out there, but that's something we always try to take every day in order to try to re-inoculate and produce those beneficial bacteria in our gut.
Yes.
Because obviously, like we already mentioned, could help fight – the leaky gut or the, you know, the side effects of leaky gut, but also produce things like serotonin and the antibodies that Shan mentioned. And I was recently looking through, you know, checking Twitter, and I found a article that one of my favorite people ever shared, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, who I've talked many times about on this podcast. And she actually was just recently pregnant also. And she retweeted an article about the benefits of, or about a study that tested the benefits of probiotics, giving pregnant women probiotics and its effect on their breast milk. So this study is from 2016. I'll give you a little background. It's basically kind of the main goal was to see what if probiotic supplementation to women during pregnancy and lactation can modulate breast milk composition. With immune benefits being transferred to their infants. So obviously kind of those things we talked about, not only happening inside in the mother, but also being transferred to the baby through the breast milk. So that's what their study was, kind of like the base, what their goal of their study was. And the results were, in conclusion, I'm just going to go with conclusion because they have a lot of more in detailed kind of acronyms in here that may not make sense to you all. So in conclusion, they found that high-dose multi-strain probiotic administration to women during pregnancy influenced the breast milk in a beneficial manner, and it seems to improve gastrointestinal function symptoms in infants.
So basically, giving probiotics to pregnant women or nursing women, pregnant nursing? Is that
so
what it
pregnant,
says?
Yeah, so
pregnant and nursing?
Mm-hmm.
Has a good effect on babies' tummies. that's putting that into regular person speak.
Yeah, there's a lot, and I dumbed it down a little bit because there's a lot of acronyms on the different type of beneficial things that they study.
Sorry, I dumbed
and
it down
like
to my level.
They also mentioned that probiotic maternal supplementation seems to decrease incidences of infantile colic and regurgitation.
Well, that's good. I don't know if it's actually working for us yet, but
we've had a couple of regurgitation incidences, yes, but we haven't had any colicky ones, right? Any colic instances, have we?
I don't think colic. No.
No. We just need to up your probiotics now, even more. And you know what? One way we could do that is by eating more probiotic foods.
Yes.
Because that is also another way.
Just taking probiotics.
Because you don't have to just supplement your probiotics. You can also eat probiotic foods.
It's in food.
There you go. So
what kind of food can I eat?
Yes. We're going to list the top 10 most probiotic foods. I don't know most probiotic.
Probiotic dense or probiotic rich foods.
Yeah, so foods that are like kind of a top 10. And these aren't necessarily ones. I mean, I guess they go in kind of order, but it's not like one has more probiotics than the other. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But this is just kind of a top 10 list. So a lot of these you guys will be familiar with. And a lot of these I actually wrote about that are actually on elementaltampa.com. I've done several blog posts about these individual one of these foods.
Hmm.
We're going to go ahead and just list it. This is from healthline.com, a site I frequently use for info about either topics, podcast topics, or blog topics. So we're actually going to do, it's top 11, because number 11, we like this one.
Mm.
Some type of cheeses. Cheeses are fermented, which means that they include some good bacteria, and these cheeses include Gouda, mozzarella, cheddar, and cottage cheese. So that's number 11 for the probiotic food.
Well, I'm already eating cottage cheese mm-hmm. for the antioxidants, right?
Well, it was amino acids.
Amino acids.
I think it's lycopene. No, not lycopene. That's something else. Not lycopene. I can't remember.
Starts with a T.
Tyrosine. Sorry. Tyrosine. That's it. Yeah, because tryptophan and tyrosine.
That's why I'm eating.
My bad. We need something ginseng, apparently, for our memory. Natto is number 10. Natto is another fermented soybean product, like some of the other ones we're about to list on this list.
There's going to be a lot of fermented things
yes.
in here, isn't
well,
there?
Because that's kind of, we need fermented foods is also another way to know that you got a probiotic foods because there's active bacterial cultures in it.
Got it.
All right. So number 9, traditional buttermilk. I don't know about if we're going to be drinking buttermilk.
I'll bake with it.
Yeah.
Can you bake with
it? I don't think you can bake. I think that will kind of negate it. And then they said
biscuits.
Cultured buttermilk commonly found in American supermarkets generally does not have any probiotic benefits. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, so traditional buttermilk, if you can get it right from the tap. Maybe you'd be good. All right, number 8. You know you like this one.
Pickles.
Yep, pickles. Probably one of the most well-known fermented foods out there. Pickles. You know, the old wrinkly, not old, but the wrinkly cucumber version. Or the fermented cucumber.
I was going to say wrinkly.
Pickled cucumber. That's a good way. So make sure you, and I think you should say it is important to note that pickles made with vinegar do not contain live probiotics. How about that? So if it's made with vinegar, it does not have probiotics in it. Interesting.
Hmm.
All right. Number 7 is kombucha. We've talked about kombucha on the podcast before. I've written about it on elementaltampa.com. Definitely has active cultures in it. And there's some good, Mother Kombucha is the company around here?
Yeah, it's the local St. Pete mm-hmm. company.
Yeah. So now that's another one, too, that it's they're still kind of, you know, how they're on the fence about leaky gut. They're kind of on the fence about kombucha, too, if it truly has kind of the beneficial aspects that people think. So even though it does have – it is a fermented beverage, it's still waiting. There's some people that think it has beneficial effects, and then there's some studies that say it has no beneficial effects. So it's kind of
– it might not be significant enough.
Right, true. Okay, number 6, miso, another thing we love.
I love miso.
Another fermented soybean product. So it's got a good kind of salty flavor that I like adding to certain dishes and stuff like that. So.
Yes.
All right. Boom. What we got? Number 5, kimchi. Also written about it on the elementaltampa.com site. So that is fermented cabbage. So it's really good. You know, it's I think it's like Korean in origin.
I think it's Korean, yeah.
Yep. So, oh, there it is. Korean side dish. Boom. So it's really simple and easy to make. I know I put a video on my website about that, how easy it is to make. But, you know, it's full of lactic acid bacteria that can benefit digestive health. All right. We're cutting it down. Counting down. Number 4. Now, are you familiar with this one? I know your time as a
tempeh.
Yeah, as a vegan.
Yep.
Did you eat a lot of this?
I didn't eat a lot of it, but I did have some of it. I mean, it's basically a soy product. So one of the good things about this is that you can cook it up, and it tastes more like a meat product.
Right.
So that's why it's very popular with the vegan diet.
Yeah.
But it's a soy. Soy-based right. product in the
end. A lot of soy-based products on this list, apparently. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, 3, sauerkraut. Ooh, favorite of mine. Another fermented cabbage product. Super good. Love it, love it, love it.
Making faces over here.
Uh-huh. And make sure they say on here that pasteurization kills the live active bacteria, so you want unpasteurized sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 2 of the probiotic foods list is kefir. Kefir?
Kefir? I don't know. I don't really know how you say
kefir?
That.
Kefir?
Kefir?
Kefir? It's a fermented probiotic milk drink. I know they actually sell this a lot in grocery stores, mm-hmm. too. I've seen it at Publix and other places like that. And I bought it before. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like almost like a yogurt smoothie, it tastes like. So it's
thicker than like a regular milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's made with kefir grains that are not cereal grains, but rather cultures of lactic acid bacteria and yeast that look a bit like cauliflower. How about that?
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And it's also, like yogurt, kefir is generally well tolerated by people with lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
How about that? And this is practically just a segue to the 1 food, probiotic food that there is that a lot of people know about.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most well known, mm-hmm. I think.
Yep. Which is, we just said it a couple times, is yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously there's tons of yogurt selection at the grocery store, but not all of them contain the probiotic benefits that they're talking about in this page right here. So a couple things for you to look back at when you're buying yogurt, if you want it for the probiotic benefits, is that it actually says on the container, live and active cultures. Because not all of them do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably the ones that are like, you know,
super
banana
processed
split
and, yeah.
yogurt and stuff like that.
Whipped,
you know,
smooth and mm-hmm. tons of sugar
yeah.
and added flavors. Those are not going to have
right.
active cultures.
Exactly. So, and it says, much like the kefir, some of the processing, the highly processed ones, all the probiotics are killed during that processing product. Processing process. Wow.
During the processing.
Yes. So, and once again, it's usually tolerated better for people that have lactose intolerant because the lactose is actually converted to lactic acid. That's why, you know, like Greek yogurt
mm-hmm.
Has like a sour taste to it almost, is the lactic acid. It's a bacteria and it's not, that's why it's unlike milk that it doesn't have really the lactose in it.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're huge fans of yogurt. You guys, I'm sure we've mentioned it on here a bunch of times. You know, we buy the Greek yogurt, the strain Greek yogurt. And
mm-hmm.
I know the Faye, the brand we have, actually has a label on that says live active cultures.
Yeah.
So that's our list for probiotic foods. So one way to kind of, in summary, we went over leaky gut. It's still up in the air. It's still kind of being debated on whether or not it's an actual diagnosed syndrome or condition.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are kind of already pre-existing conditions, Crohn's disease, celiac disease,
yes.
that have produced a lot of the same symptoms that are associated with leaky gut.
Result with leaky gut.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. So we know that there's people that suffer from kind of intestinal impermeability, and
yes.
those people have to change their diet or take medication, and also can help, you know, produce a better gut by doing probiotic supplementation.
Yes.
And food that contains probiotics.
Yeah, and I will also say that even if you're a person that doesn't take probiotic supplements or eats these foods on a regular basis, at the very least, know the basics on gut health, which we probably will do another kind of more broad gut health
mm-hmm.
Podcast in the future, because if you're taking things like antibiotics or something with an antibiotic in it, you're actually killing the good bacteria with the bad bacteria. So next time you have like a really bad cold or something like that where you get antibiotics prescribed to you, make sure that you are taking, after you finish taking the antibiotics, start taking probiotics, because you have to replenish the natural existing good bacteria in your gut. You've killed off everything after you have those illnesses, and it's just going to prolong your recovery. So be proactive if you can and take probiotics all the time, but at the very least, take it after you use antibiotics or something like that, because it's really going to help get you back up to speed.
Be proactive with
probiotics.
Wow. Oh. What a jingle.
I know. I should have like made that into a song. Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's all we got for him this week. You got anything else?
Just that you should definitely go check out our new sponsor, the Hemp Coffee Exchange, and take advantage of that great promotional offer that they're offering our Addicted to Fitness listeners.
That's right. 20% off when you enter ATF in the discount code.
I'm going to probably be drinking some of this coffee very shortly just to keep us going throughout the day. And we honestly wouldn't say that this is a great product unless we thought it was. So know that it's got our blessing and endorsement for sure. And we're really excited about this partnership and hope that you all get to try it and leave us some feedback. Give us a shout on what you think about it, because you can go back to the podcast that we reviewed their different coffees with them and had a very exciting interview with them. But like, all their coffee is delicious.
Yeah, they have a great product, and it's a great, it's a super coffee. It's not just regular coffee, guys.
It is.
Find out, you know, head to their website, check them out, and please use that discount code when you buy your first hemp coffee blend.
So what is that website again?
HempCoffeeExchange.com. You guys can definitely check out our show notes. You know, we'll put it up there for you guys.
Yep, and we'll also make sure we put it up on the Facebook page so you can check it out there too.
Mm-hmm. All right, now I think that's all we got for them this week.
I'm good to go.
All right, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
See ya.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Test, 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 test. Jump two, jump two.